Hey fam, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. And if you are looking for some good sermons and words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and subscribe, like, comment, and share. That way you are up to date on all our latest content. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
I'm going to finish up today with Abraham being all in. And when you start thinking about Abraham, you start thinking about they call him the father of faith. But man, he had to have some supernatural faith. I mean, to all the things that God asked him to do, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about what God's going to do as I did last week. But God asked him to do a lot of things that didn't make sense. He maybe had to do a lot of things that his family didn't understand. He had to do a lot of things that people were probably thinking he's crazy, like just like Noah. Hey, Noah, will you go build an ark the size of a cruise ship in the desert where it hadn't rained? You know, sometimes God asks you to do some crazy things, but he did this with Abraham. So let's just dig right into Genesis 22:1. Now, it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, here Abraham said, here am I. It is said that God tested Abraham 10 times. How many of us remember this? You know, how many seasoned people in the room remember this? This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test. Some of the young people are like, what is he talking about? But we start thinking about it. How many of us like to take tests? If you look at my college and high school grades, I'm a lot smarter than what my grades showed. Come on, I got a bunch of people doing that. I am not a dumb person, but if you looked at my transcripts from college, you're like, what did he do? I ain't going to tell you what I did in college because it wasn't all great. It was bad. But nobody really likes to take tests. If you do, I'll pray for you. But our culture today has different testing. Our culture says nobody loses. You get a participation trophy if you just show up. I went to a game and I said this to my son, was playing in upwards basketball, and I looked across the thing and there was no scorecard. And they were scoring points and he was actually scoring a bunch of points. It was good. And I was like, what is going on? It's, oh, well, we decided this year we're not going to keep scoring. I said, what? Come on. I said, in life, there's winners and there's losers. There's not just participators. I love the NFL player, his son got that thing and he made him go give it back. Because he didn't want a participation trophy. We are tested daily to see where we stand, and sometimes we fail. A lot of our biggest failures just don't happen. Most of them are small ones that add up over a period of time. And let me tell you, testing doesn't always mean failing. Tests are sometimes there, they're necessary to demonstrate our moral fitness to do the assignment God has called us to do. Come on, it's not about fail or pass. Sometimes you have to understand the test. You have the opportunity to succeed and faithfully prove the God inside of you. Sometimes tests are necessary to take you from one grade level to the next grade level. Come on, we can't all live in first grade our whole lives. Come on, I should have done eighth grade 3 or 4 times. But we all have to have tests and things that bring us to put us to a different place in our lives because it gets us from one opportunity to the next opportunity. And I really do believe in the world we're living in today, a bigger test is coming. I don't believe C's and D's are going to cut what God, I don't believe barely getting by is going to be able to be the answer to what we're about to go through. It may determine us whether we pass or we fail, whether we win or whether we lose. It may determine whether we're fitting into culture or we're all in our faith. Come on, it's coming, y'all. God tested Abraham and he passed some of those tests. He said, I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave your land. I want you to leave your money. And I want you to leave your comfort. That's the one that gets us right there all the time. We want to be comfortable where we're at. He stepped out in faith. And when you do that, if you don't have a test, you won't have a testimony. Come on. Many of us in here, because we've been through the test, because we've been through the fire, because we've been through the process, we have something when we come out on the other side that's not just for us, it's for someone else. God tests us for two reasons. First, it's an opportunity for us to prove ourselves to him. And second, it's an opportunity for us, for him to prove himself to us. God can't reveal his faithfulness until we exercise our faith. All in faith means this. It means being available. I love what Abraham said. He says this a couple of times in the scripture here. He says, here I am. God, here I am. He's ready to go wherever. He says, God, I'm available. God, I'm ready to surrender whatever you want me to do. I'm ready to do it now with no distractions. Sometimes the problem is when we say yes to God, there's 53 other things that we say yes to also. And though it seems like those other things, because they kind of trump what we said to God, and we put God on about the fifth or eighth or ninth or 12th place in the line, God says, if you put me first, I'm going to show you. Yeah. It's not about the ability. It's about your availability. It's not about ability. It's about availability. God is looking for our yes, regardless of our talent, regardless of our time, regardless of how many degrees we have, or regardless of our doubt. So many people in the Bible doubted God, but he still used them. Another test was coming, and Abraham was probably about to go, oh, Lord, not another one. My gosh, I've done, can you give me a break, please? But we develop when we're tested. James 1 says this, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. That sounds great, doesn't it? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. How many need some patience in the house? You better get both your hands up. She said she didn't want to be tested. There you go. But he's about to go through another test. It's called the promised land, or the territory that God was going to give him. Because remember, he said, go out from your homeland and I'm going to give you descendants. I'm not getting ahead of myself. Genesis 13. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes up now and look from the place where you are, north, south, east, and west. For all the land which I see, I'm giving to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, listen to this one. Walk through the land, through its length and through its width, for I am giving it to you. Everywhere you walk, everywhere the sole of your feet touches, I'm giving to you. North, south, east, and west. How about you real estate people? Wouldn't you like to be Abraham's real estate? What do you own? I own that. I own that, that, that. Hold on a minute. Let's keep walking, because I own every place I go. I'm owning more land. Come on. God wants us to continue to walk. And not. Abraham had to stay focused, because every time he stepped out in faith, there was a test that he had to be tested in. Because he would be tested. Look at 18 here. I'm sorry. I'm jumping around a little bit. Then Abraham moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth tree in Mamre, which are in Hebron, and he built an altar there to the Lord. When you buy land, you don't pitch a tent on it. You intend to build a house on it, correct? Yes. Tents are temporary. Houses are permanent. Abraham and Sarah, think about this. Now listen to me. Abraham and Sarah lived in the land for most all of their lives in tents. Imagine you ever have to go on a trip and live out of a suitcase for a week. Anybody? They lived in a suitcase for hundreds of years. And I can just imagine, don't you think Sarah ever came up to Abraham and said, hey, we got a child now. We're getting a little bit older. Abraham, why can't we just settle down instead of moving every few weeks or every month? That's a legitimate thing, right? And she was maybe even nagging him just a little bit. Women don't nag, but I had to throw that one in there, sorry. But why didn't Abraham build yet? Because God had much more for him than just to settle where he was. So many times, he said, remember to walk the land, and everywhere you go, I'm going to give it to you. God many times wants us to keep walking because he has more for us. He's got more in store for you, but so many times we stop on the very edge of where he wants us to go. We stand here, we look off into the promise, and we live back there, though. God says, if you'll keep walking, even if it's a small step, even if it's a baby step, even if it's an understanding step, take a step forward and go on in your walk. Often what we do is we settle for what's right in front of us. You know why? Because it looks good. I'm preaching to myself this morning. It looks good. It looks easy. It looks like we can conquer that. But there's giants in that land that we know nothing about. But God has defeated every giant. He's defeated everything in your life. Come on, sometimes I sought the Lord. Sometimes we got to remember where he brought us from and where he is taking us to. Somebody give God some praise in the house this morning. He's brought you there for a reason. We have to forget this is not our permanent home. We're only passing through. Now, this is for some of you old country loving people. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Oh, that wasn't that good. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me. Come on, anybody remember this song? Some of y'all are like, no, I never heard this song. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. This morning, God wants us to keep walking, and God wants us to keep waiting. And how long did they wait? They waited their whole life. They waited the whole life of their son. Come on, I said it last week. We can't even wait for our minute rise to go a minute. We can't wait on anything. If it doesn't work, we're trying to, right, Kevin? We're trying to beat the button, making sure it works. But they waited their whole lives and their grandson's lives. And do you ever think the thought crossed their mind? I like to think tangibly. Yes, he's the father of our faith, but he was also human. Sometimes Sarah about came to him and said, what are we doing here? We're strangers in this land. Why don't we just go home? And they could have. But the thing that kept them in the land when they could have moved back was called faith. When God spoke it, Abraham responded. So many times when God speaks it, we delay our reaction. We delay in what we're doing, and God says, man, you've cost yourself so many months. You've cost yourself so many years. You've cost yourself so much time if you wouldn't have delayed. We live our life a lot of times in delay, to hoping that things will get better without trusting God to say he's going to get better. There's healing coming to your body. There's a healing coming to your family. But you got to trust the process. You got to trust him to do those things. They never went back. They stuck it out. They said to themselves, we're going to stay here even if we don't understand it. Even if they don't see all the promises, God, we're going to believe. Come on, that's what faith is. Even when you don't see it, you have to believe it. Thank you, Jessica. They believed that the promise was bigger than them. They saw the big picture. And I see people sometimes follow God. They do it for a while, then they get tired. They get discouraged. They get bored. They get disappointed. They give up and they quit and they lose their faith and they go back to where they came from. I remember when he was talking to the disciples and he says, everybody was leaving Jesus. And he looked at the disciples and said, are you going to leave me also? And Peter said, where are we going to go? Come on, think about that. Where are you going to go back to? Can you go back to that thing that you've... Where are we going to go, God? Because you hold the words of eternal life. There's nowhere else to go but to God. I'm telling you this morning, don't give up, don't quit, don't go back. Faith is what keeps you going when nothing else seems to be working out. Come on, when all hell's breaking loose, that's the time to say, God, I don't understand it. I don't like it. Come on, you can talk real to God. I don't like it. I don't really want, but I just know there's a plan and a purpose on the other side of this pain. Remember that God will continue to work as long as we're willing. Because the Bible says this, he who began a good work is what? He's faithful to complete it. I know we say that all the time, but I think we need to hear something 1,000 times before it registers in our brains. Here's the biggest test. Genesis 22:2. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him, say him, he didn't say it. He said, him, there is a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. Back in those days, they had to do a blood sacrifice. They had to sacrifice an animal for the forgiveness of sin. When this animal died, it died in the place of all of our sins and all of our transgressions. But it was temporary. It was not something that lasted a long time. He said, take your son, your only, no, he said, take your son. First thing Abraham might have thought is, I got two sons. He had two. Ishmael was the one that they shouldn't have had. He could have been thinking, oh, I'll just get rid of Ishmael. I'll keep Isaac. But then God had to reiterate to him, I want you to take your only son. He said, your only son, because he was the one born in God's will. The other one was born because you got selfish and you got impatient and you didn't wait on the process. God was still not giving Abraham a lot of details. He kept telling, come on. I went on vacation one time years ago. Didn't plan nothing. It was terrible. Got to the place. There was some kind of convention in town. There wasn't a hotel room to be found. Ended up sleeping in a hotel room with a puddle of water in the floor. Some kind of bugs were crawling all over the place. And I said, I like to plan and prepare if I'm going to go somewhere. I like to get a room in advance and where I know what to expect. But God was still not giving Abraham, you know me, don't you, babe? He keeps telling us, I'm going to show you. I'm going to, can you do it now? No, just go, and I'll show you when you get there. But it means that God will show you, and he'll lead you to that place of the unknown right now. But first of all, we have to start moving our feet. He cannot take us from this place to that place until we take that first step, until we take that first step in the journey. 50, it wasn't just any step. This was 50 miles away. This is a three-day journey. And genuine faith steps out in obedience. Hebrews 11:1 says this. I like it. It says, now faith is the confidence. I don't read it that way. Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for. And assurance is about what we don't see. Now faith. Sometimes we have to have now faith, not later faith. Come on. So many times we don't have the now faith. We have it. I'll have it for later. Or how many have faith for someone else? But when it comes to your own life, you don't have faith for yourself, right? I can remember counseling people and talking to people. Man, I left that thing going, man, that was good. I told them what they needed to do. And God's like, well, then how come you don't do some of the only, you don't do the things you tell other people to do? It's because sometimes we don't have the faith for ourselves, but we have it for someone else. It's good to have faith for someone else, but you got to start believing who God says you are. You got to start believing who he's called you to be and who he wants you to be. Oh, I'm going on. Genesis 22. So Abraham rose early in the morning. He saddled his donkey and he took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. On the third day, similarities, of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the servants. The boy and I will travel a little farther. Listen, we will worship there, and then we'll be right back. Come on, he knew what God had told him to do. But when you're all in, everyone can't go where you're going. He said, you guys got to stay here. You guys got to stay back. When you're all in with God, sometimes there's people that are on your journey right now that can't be on your journey anymore. Some people don't want to go where you're going. Some people are going to hinder you from where you want to go. Some people, you just got to leave in, oh, Jesus. You got to leave them in the dust and you got to say, okay, I'm not going there anymore. Their faith might be small, their faith might be in non-existence. They might not mean harm, but they may hinder your assignment in place where God wants you to go. They may try to stop you. They might cause you to question, hey, you sure, God? Come on, I watched his only son, the movie, and there was many, many times God spoke directly to Abraham. He only spoke in the hearing of Sarah one time. There was many times when Sarah's like, are you sure? You're hearing from God. That's not making her a bad thing. That's making her a human. Are you sure you heard him to say, get out of this land? Are you sure you heard him to say that? And I'm sure Abraham didn't offer to Sarah what he was about to do when he took that journey. Because don't you know the mama bear and her would have been, wait a minute. You about to take our only son, the one we've been waiting 100 years for, and you're about to take him up a mountain and you're about to kill him? No. Sometimes we have to have faith and we have to understand that God places people along your journey, and some people can't go where you're going, but there are people that God has put in your time, in your place, for the right time, for the right season. It may be a mentor, it may be a teacher, it may be a friend, it may even be a stranger. God places people in your life for your journey. And I love what they say. So we're going to worship. Remember, it was 3 days. It was a journey. Sometimes we can't drive 3 miles to worship. It's a little rainy outside. I don't think I'm going to church today. It's too hot. It's too cold. 3 days, they said, we're going to worship. And what he did, what I thought was so amazing about this, he thought this test was worship. Can I tell you, worship is not just what you do on Sunday. Worship is not just your favorite song. I hope they sing my favorite song today or I'm not worshiping. Come on, y'all. You know what I'm talking about. I can't worship if they don't sing my song. Worship is not just a good feeling. Worship is something that we show our love and adoration to God doing through. He thought, I'm about to do something and I'm going to do it out of love because I love God. I'm about to sacrifice the only thing that me, one of the only things that mean anything to me out of worship to you, God. Real worship always is connected to sacrifice. Jesus said in the garden, not my will, but yours, God. Real worship says sometimes I'm going to praise you even though I don't understand it, even though I don't feel like it. Sometimes you got to get your hands in the air like you just don't care, even when you don't feel like it. Sometimes you need to worship God when you're in your car and there all hell is breaking loose in your life. You need to put a song on and say, God, I'm going to praise you in this storm. I'm going to praise you even though it doesn't look right. Come on. Worship is unto him. It should be done every day. Our talk and our actions show how much we love God. I love when he said this. He says, me and the boy, we're coming back. He was calm and he had assurance. But he spoke this not fully, still, come on, not knowing what was going to happen. But the thing about Abraham is he had assurance that God was going to be faithful in whatever decision. He had assurance that God was going to be faithful in whatever decision that needed to be made. Come on, some of us need to be faithful in our decisions that we make. And know God has, come on, we need to let our money go sometimes into the storehouse. Just say, God, I'm just giving it to you. I'm not sure where it goes, but I know it goes to you. But God, I just know that sometimes we hold on to things so tightly. And God said, if you'll just release that thing, man, I could show you what I could do with it. So Abraham placed the wood, verse 6. And the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father, yes, my son, we have the fire, we have the wood, but where's the sheep for the burnt offering? God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son. Then they both walked on together. He had to have faith for Isaac because Isaac was old enough to know something's not quite right. Wait a minute, we've done this before, Father. Now tell me, usually we got the sheep and it's over top or we're leading it to the thing. I don't see one. He had to have faith for Isaac. Isaac was not dumb. They said he was anywhere from 15 to 19 years old. There was things going on in his own mind. They had to sacrifice always, and they had to have something to sacrifice. But look at verse 9. When they arrived at the place, my iPad just went crazy. When they arrived at the place where God had told them to go, Abraham built an altar, and he arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son, Isaac, and laid him on an altar on the top of the wood. Abraham built an altar. He bound his son. And do you imagine that Isaac maybe was freaking out just a little bit? Okay, wait a minute, God, what's going on? Father, what's going on here? Now, you know, I believe that he did. I just want to believe that he did freak out a little bit. Isaac, I wonder what Abraham said to him as he bound his son. He said, son, don't be afraid. God's going to provide the sacrifice. He had to have the faith for himself, and he had to have faith for his son. God knew Abraham's heart, but maybe he had to reveal something to Abraham. Maybe Abraham was still looking back and thinking about the past, the mistakes that he had made. He was disqualifying himself because of the past and all the things that he had done. He was the man of faith, but he'd made some mistakes too. God had to show Abraham what an act of redemption looked like. Can I ask you this morning, what are you holding on to? What are you holding on to? Your past mistakes, your failures, holding on to bad relationships or relationships that are not good for you? The good news is this: God has redeemed your past and he's covered it under the blood. The Bible says he's taken your sins as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. Sometimes we keep rehearsing it to God and God's saying, I don't remember what you're talking about. He's already forgot about what we keep bringing up. He went all in for you. God is not looking for us for just any sacrifice. It must be a sacrifice that costs you something. David said, I won't sacrifice nothing that don't cost me anything. You can tell how much you love something by what you're willing to sacrifice it for. And I'm telling you, God's not asking you to sacrifice your children. But maybe you're trying to give birth to something that's not of God. Maybe you're trying to give birth to your plans. Maybe you're trying to give birth to your dreams. Maybe you've abandoned your faith and God said, no, I'm trying to keep this alive, but I'm trying to kill this, but you're keeping it alive. He may ask you to sacrifice some things that mean a lot to you. Maybe it's some of your family. Maybe it's your friends. Maybe it's your possessions. Maybe it's control. Any control freaks in the house, as I said last week? You can raise your hand. I'll just call coming. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your home. Verse 10 says, Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. Abraham trusted God in Hebrews 11:17. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son. Listen to this. Even though God had told him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. He is the golden child. Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to raise him up to back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. People die, promises don't. People die, promises don't. So many times we give up on the promise because something else has died. God can resurrect that promise. God can resurrect that plan. God can resurrect that thing that you think is dead. Come on. Somebody in here thinks something is dead in your life. No. It might be, it's not dead, it's dormant. Maybe you've not cultivated it. Maybe you've not done your part of it. And God says, no, I'm about to bring something back to life in you again. And at that moment, verse 11, the angel of the Lord called down from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. Here Abraham says, here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way. For now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from even your only son, your only son. Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in the horns in the thicket. So he took the ram and he sacrificed it as a burnt offering in the place of his. His faith was not only in the promise, but in the one who made the promise. He says, God said to him, now I know. I trust you now, Abraham. Yeah, all nine of the other tests were just tests, but now I know if you will pass this test that you're going to do exceedingly abundantly. You're going to do more than I ever thought. Now I know. He knew that he could give Abraham the stars and the sand. Why? Because he knew he would not be worshiping them. They wouldn't be his idol. He knew that he would give them up. So many times we worship the gift and not the giver. Can I ask you what you find your identity in? Where do you find your security? That might be your Isaac. As we give an altar call here in just a few minutes, I'm going to ask you that we may do have to sacrifice an Isaac in our life and lay it at God's feet. God wants to see if you will leave it at the altar. God doesn't want to take it from you. He wants you to willingly give it to him. Come on, that's hard. He doesn't want to take it. Okay, I'm going to snatch it. No. He says no. Just like the choice in the garden, we had all the choices. He wanted us to choose freely. When Abraham went in, God went all in. God provided the lamb. God provided the sacrifice. And Mount Moriah is just the place that says God will provide. How has God provided for you in your life? What's he done in your life? So many times, that last song, that third song we sing, is like we have to remember. Sometimes we just lose sight of remember how good God's been to us. He's given you blessings that you can never imagine. He's kept you from things that you couldn't have kept yourself from. But the biggest provision was Jesus and his sacrifice. This story helps us to understand how hard it was for the Father to give Jesus as a sacrifice for us. God provided a substitute for Abraham, and he provided a substitute for us. Remember, there wasn't anything that could take Jesus' place in that sacrifice. It had to be him. And what makes the gospel good news is that God solved the problem of death, not by demanding everything that contaminated by sin be put to death, but by offering his only son as a sacrifice, as a substitute for us. And when he did that, he allowed us to have a new life, a life. Oh, thank you, Jesus. If y'all would stand with me, please. Let's look at a story and look at a journey. They walked up a mountain. Jesus was crucified on a mountain. It says Isaac carried the wood on his shoulders, just like Jesus carried that cross up that hill to Calvary. The Bible said he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. There had to be a sacrifice, and this was another only son opportunity. The ram was tangled up in the thorns just as Jesus' head was tangled in the thorns on his head. It was the substitute for Isaac, just like Jesus was our substitute. This morning, if you've never given your heart over to Jesus, Jesus died for you on a maybe. Maybe Sam will love me. Maybe Sam will serve me. He died on a maybe. This morning, he just wants your heart. And maybe some of us have been holding on to our hearts so tightly because it's been broken. It's been hurt. It's been hardened. It's been a lot of things. This morning, God says, if you will release your heart to me this morning, I don't know, this wasn't in my, if you will release your heart to me this morning, I can do something. So I can give you a heart transplant. I'll give you a new heart. I can take that heart of stone and I can make a heart of flesh out of it. This morning, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, please. If you've never made that decision to follow Jesus, I believe today is your day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. Today is the day that you can have a new life in Jesus. But it starts by just saying, Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for my failures. God, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe you died for me in my place. And I want to serve you. I want to follow out the plan that even though I don't understand, I want to go with you in this journey. There's going to be someone on the left and right up here to pray if you'd like to come during this next song. If you want someone to agree with you about salvation, come on. This is the best decision you'll ever make. And I don't know, last few weeks I've just been compelled to talk to whoever's online. This is a decision that you can make in your living room. This is a decision you can make in your car. This is a decision you can make somewhere other than being in here, but try to get in the house. You may have been following Jesus for a while, but there's an Isaac that you need to lay on the altar.
Come on.
And you know it's your Isaac. We talked about burning the ships last week. You know what your ship is, and you know what your Isaac is. So as they get ready to sing this song, it's an act, a physical act. Just come up here and stand around this altar and release that to God this morning.
Thank you so much for joining us today. To find out more information about what we're all about here, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you, we're praying for you, and we'll see you next week.